I invite you to hear these words of God this morning. It comes to us from several different passages of Scripture in the Bible. No, I don't like that. First, from Galatians. Be the fruit of the Spirit. I invite you to hear these words of God this morning that comes to us from several different passages of Scripture in the Bible. First, from the book of Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joys. Now, I cannot get this correct this morning. I invite you to hear these words of God this morning that come to us from a variety of different passages in the Bible. First, from Paul's letter to the Galatians. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These words from Paul's letter to the Corinthians. Everything is permitted, but everything isn't beneficial. Everything is permitted, but everything doesn't build others up. And then finally, from the book of Psalms. Be still and know that I am God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'm wondering if any of that in the video has happened to you. I mean, technology is great, but it can also be dangerous, literally dangerous, as we just saw, right? And it's one reason we're going to talk about technology and cell phones and screens in the course of this series of Modern Family series, because it impacts us. It impacts us individually, corporately as a family, and beyond. It impacts our kids. You know, it impacts us in so many different ways. Now, some of you can probably still remember when there were no such thing as TVs, right? Or screens. The only screen was maybe the movie theaters you got to go to every once in a while, if ever. But there were no TVs. Some of us can remember, we had TVs growing up, but when we turned it on, we had to wait for it to warm up before it actually came on. You remember that? You'd click it on, and you'd wait, and you wait as the TV warmed up, and then boom, finally it would appear. Some of us can remember that. I can remember that. It wasn't until later on that, screens really began to kind of invade, in a sense. You know, there were video games, and then there were computers, and then cell phones and tablets and all kinds of things that we have. Now, nowadays, though, everyone born from 2011 forward, they don't know of a time without screens, okay? They're called the screen generation because of this, because from the moment they were born, they have been surrounded by screens, TV screens, tablets, computers, cell phones, all kinds of screens. And so it's not surprising that this generation, has the highest amount of screen time than any other generation before them. And we're just really coming to grips with the impact that all this screen time and this screen generation, all these screens, has had upon this generation and us as well. Now, I just want to be real clear. Technology is not a bad thing. It is not evil, okay? It's not bad. It's not evil, okay? It helps us to accomplish things faster, to do things that we never could do before without technology. So it helps us to be happier and healthier and live more fruitful lives in lots of different ways. But as the old adage says, too much of a good thing can become a bad thing. I mean, with all the wonders of technology, there are pitfalls, right? And the truth is, we're becoming more and more and more attached, addicted to our screens. So I got a few statistics I want to share with you this morning. These are come from the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, I believe. And they say that the average screen time for an 8 to 10-year-old is 6 hours. For 11 to 14-year-old children, it's 9 hours. For 15 to 18-year-olds, it's 7.5 hours. Now, more concerning is the data on children younger than that. 0 to 2, the average per day. Now, this is per day, okay? 49 minutes. A 1 to 2-year-old, 53 minutes. 2 to 4-year-olds, 2.5 hours. 5 to 8-year-olds, 3 or more hours. 7 to 8, 1.5 hours. 8 to 10, as we heard, 6 hours. And it's not any better for adults. In 2022, on average, adults spent just over 7 hours per day in front of a screen. Now think about it. If we get on average eight hours of sleep per day, and so that means we're awake 16 hours per day. 7 hours of those are in front of a screen. That's almost half the time we're awake every day. We're in front of some type of screen or looking at a screen. Now, I realize that there are jobs where you sit mostly in front of a computer. All right, that's screen time. Children, they spend a lot more time at school in front of screens. Now, they learn, in front of screens and all of that. So I understand that a lot, maybe the screen time is associated with that. But let's take it a little deeper then, all right? Let's just simply look at how much time we spend on our phones, okay? Our phones. And there was a survey done by reviews.org, and they found this, saying that Americans checked their phones on average 144 times a day. It means they pick up their phone 144 times per day. Now, I'll tell you, I pick up my phone a lot, so I don't think it's 144 times. I don't know. I've never counted, but I pick it up a lot, and I'm checking emails or text or where my family is or whatever, but you know what? I'm picking up my phone a lot. 89% of Americans say they check their phones within the first 10 minutes of waking up. So after waking up, within the first 10 minutes, they've already reached for their phone. And hey, I've done it. I do it. I reach for my phone and I'm checking things again. 75% of Americans feel uneasy leaving their phone at home. I mean, I've seen people have panic attacks because they have left home without their phone. Is that bad? 75% say they use their phone on the toilet. Okay, I'm guilty. Yeah, many complains that I'm in the bathroom so long. Well, because I'm in there so long, because really, I'm on my phone, to be honest. All right. 69% have texted someone in the same room as them. I've seen this too. Now, I understand, hey, like if you're in worship or, you're in a meeting and you're texting someone in the same room so you don't, interrupt, I understand that. But I have seen where people have been sitting, maybe beside each other or maybe really close to each other, and they've texted each other rather than simply speaking to them. 60% say they sleep with their phone at night. 55% say they have never gone longer than 24 hours without their cell phone. That's true. My son Brady went to camp this summer, and I love the camp. I love this camp because one of the things they do is say, hey, you can't bring your cell phone. Do not bring your cell phone. You have no electronic devices for a week. Excuse me. And if you do, we're going to confiscate it or we're going to send you home. And they have. And so Brady goes to camp, doesn't have a cell phone all week, doesn't complain about it, because he has such a good time at camp. And I love it that these kids, they can be away from their cell phones for more than 24 hours. And you know what? And for many of them, it's not that big a deal. It's not. And yet, 55% say that they have never gone longer than 24 hours without theirs. 27% say they use or look at their phone while driving. Well, I think that percentage is even higher, because every time I pull up to a red light, if I look over to my left and right, man, 9 times out of 10, it seems like somebody is looking at their cell phone. I mean, you think about it, to some extent, all of us these days are really part of a screen generation, right? Because we're so attached to them. Now, you might be thinking, okay, so what does all this have to do with my faith? Well, as Christians, we are called to love God and to love one another. As Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment. This This is it in a nutshell. Love God, love one another. The Apostle Paul tells us that faith, hope, and love remain, but the greatest of these is love. In 1 John, we read these words: whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and his sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this commandment: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is one of the essential practices of the Christian life. It is to demonstrate love, kindness, and to care for one another. And yet, if we are honest with ourselves, we are tending more and more and more to spend time with our screens, with our phones, all those things, than we are with the people that we are called to love. That's how it impacts our faith, folks. All right? I mean, think about it. The question, do you believe phones get in the way of relationships? Well, I'll tell you, Simon Oliver Sinek, a British-born American author, believes so. Take a look. Now, let me ask you, does any of that sound familiar? Right? I mean, I'll tell you, I am guilty of a lot of that. All right, it's why today this sermon is as much for me as it is for anyone else. All right, I mean, Simon, he talks about how our phones, how our screens, they impact our presence, our presence in the moment, right? And there's a word for it, this word, you maybe even haven't heard of it. I hadn't until this week. But there's a word for it, it's called fubbing, okay? And fubbing is the habit of snubbing a physical present person in favor of a mobile phone. All right, the habit of snubbing a physically present person in favor of a mobile phone. Wow. And what is so ironic is, we're so attached to our phones because, we say our phones helped us, they help us stay connected, right? Connected to one another, but in reality, it's helping, it's impeding our ability to connect to those who are actually in our presence, right? I mean, you can be with people and not really be with people, right? I mean, I'll tell you, I'm as guilty of fubbing as anyone else. I mean, maybe you do that. You're focused on your phone more so rather than the people that are around you who are even speaking to you. Or maybe you've probably think about it, have you been a victim of fubbing? And how has that made you feel? You're trying to talk to someone and they keep, glancing at their phone, right? What are they telling you? As Simon said, hey, that the phone is more important than you are. How does that make you feel, right? Someone shared with me an experience not too long ago. They didn't have their phone for a whole week because it was being repaired. And they said, you know what? Actually, because I didn't have my phone, I spent more time with my family and friends talking to them face to face than when I didn't, when I had my phone. He said, at dinner, my family and I had better conversations, more meaningful conversations during that period of time. Why? Because I didn't have my phone. Imagine that. Wow. Huh. Again, it's not that technology is bad or evil. I mean, it does help us stay connected with people across the world, across the country or across whatever, and texting and Snapchat and sharing pictures and all those wonderful things. It helps us stay connected, all right? But there are times where, we have to put our phone down, have to step away from the screen to have a relationship with somebody who is around us and not be fubbing them all the time. I mean, God created us to be in community, right? To be in relationships. We were made for companionship. The first thing that the Bible says that isn't good is for man to be alone, okay? And so God looked at Adam and said, it's not good for you to be alone, so I'm going to make you a helper, a partner, a companion. He didn't say, oh, you're alone. Well, let me give you an iPhone. Let me give you a screen. He said, no, I'm going to make you a helper, a partner, a companion. The word companion comes from a Latin word, which actually means to break bread with. And so let me ask you, do you put your phones down? Do you step away from the screens during your meals? A rule at my house for a long time has been, hey, don't bring your phone to the table, all right? No phones at the table, no technology at the table. Now, I will have to say, we've been kind of slack with that as of late. Kids will bring their phones to the table. And if I see it, I say, I'll tell them, hey, I don't want to see that. Put that away. But it's still with them, all right? It's still with them. But here's the thing, you know, can we not take 20 minutes, 30 minutes to eat a dinner and to have meaningful conversation, to truly be present with people? You know, I think somewhere along the way, we've lost an essential element to being human, and that is to be in relationship, to connect, and you really connect with one another, being present with one another. I mean, what would happen if at your dinner table, you know, that became sacred space to you, okay? For your family, for your relationships, no phones, no technology there. You know, we're just simply going to be present so that we can have meaningful time together, meaningful conversations as we break bread together. Huh? You know, that's a small step. Let me just say, I understand that, but it could make a big difference. I mean, what if during lunchtime you put your phones away? You know, you're having lunch with people, you put your phones away, you know, and enjoy that time. What would happen if that took place? And again, you might be thinking, well, okay, what does this have to do with my faith? Well, it comes down to really, to me, who is master in your life? I mean, technology makes a great servant, but it is a terrible master, all right? In the Bible, we have a name for this. It's called idolatry, all right? And idolatry is, you know, an idol is anything that becomes the center of your life, right? When it becomes your master, or it becomes a source of your comfort, of your strength, of your joy, of your hope, or your sense of peace, all right? It becomes an idol. And there's a lot of great things that can become idols, though. And many people, they're idolaters and they don't even realize that they are. We are. I mean, I think all of us are to some extent, and we don't even realize we are. I mean, we think, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, you know, and, you know, I love God. But if you dig a little deeper behind that, what really is the center of life? Probably not God. Things like money or power or, you know, a career. More and more, I believe it's technology that has become an idol in our lives. And yet the very first of the Ten Commandments is what? You shall have no other gods before me. In other words, you know, God's saying, hey, nothing else is driving you other than me. Nothing else is at the center of your life other than me. Nothing else is the source of your security, of your strength, other than me, God is saying. See, the response to our idolatry, to our struggle with screens or whatever it is, you know, really boundaries or whatever it might be, our struggle with it, our response to that, the Bible has a word for that. It's called self-control, right? This ability to rein in ourselves, to maybe reprogram ourselves so that we are not misusing or overindulging in something. You know, this fruit of the Spirit points to this, that raw Paul writes about in Galatians. He says, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, what are they? They're joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Exactly. The Greek word for self-control is this ekrateia. All right, it is self-mastery, self-restraint, okay? Translated many times as self-control, discipline, temperance, moderation. And Paul says, you know what, as the Holy Spirit works within us, the fruits of the Spirit, right? As the Holy Spirit works within us, it produces these things. One of them is self-control, all right? And yet, when it comes to our technology, we don't always have a lot of that, do we? Instead, usually it's the opposite. It's overindulgence, being out of control, sometimes even addiction. Now, you might be thinking, hey, well, I thought today was more about, you know, screen generations. We're going to talk about kids. But it seems like we're talking more about adults and their problems with it. Well, let me just say, it begins with adults, all right? It begins there. If we as adults don't recognize the attachment that we have to our screens, then we're not going to understand how much more that is with our kids. The Mayo Clinic posted an article on the negative effects of too much screen time when it came to children. And so this was part of what it said. It said, too much screen time has been linked to obesity, inadequate sleep schedules, insufficient sleep, behavior problems, delays in language and social skill development, violence, attention problems, less time learning. And there are a whole lot of other articles that list more ways in which our technology, when we use too much of it, but ends up having a negative impact on our physiology and our mental health, on our physical health. And so that leads me to think, okay, so what are some practical ways in which we can deal with this. And, you know, one thing I came across this week, and this is for children, you know, kind of elementary age and preschool age kids, you know, so for parents, grandparents, maybe. I came across this little book, and it's called Polly and the Screen Time Overload. And it's a great little book that you can share with with the children. And what it does, it tells this little story of Polly. And for 1 year, I think for Christmas, she gets an iPad. They call it an iTab, but it's like a tablet, an iPad, for Christmas from one of her grandparents. And you know what? She loves it. She's enamored by it. She can't take her eyes off of it. And so she starts downloading apps and all kinds of things. She's on it all the time. Well, it comes time to go visit her other grandparents, not the ones who gave her the iTab, but her other grandparents. And she has always loved going there. They live out in the country. They have a farm, and there's cows and chickens and all kinds of things, and she loves going there. But she takes along her iTab. And so when she gets there, what she really wants to do is to play on her iTab. Now, her cousins are there, too, and they want to play with her. You know, they're out building hay forts and all, you know, hay bale forts and all kinds of things, and yet Polly is on her iTab, playing on her iTab. But as the week goes on, she begins to sense that she's lost her way. And by the time you get to the end of the book, she discovers, hey, wait a minute, I think I'm really missing out on something. Maybe there's a right place for my iTab. But you know what? There's a place for me to be present with my grandparents and with my cousins. And so she kind of finds herself again. It's a great little book. So check it out. You can find it online. There's not much, very much at all. But you know what? There are times when we're no longer experiencing life the way it's created to be. Why? Because we've gotten off track. Something else become a master of our lives. That's why Paul's words, I think, are really relevant that I read earlier. Everything is permitted, but everything isn't beneficial. All right, iPod, iPhones, again, a technology, it's permitted, it's great, but it's not always beneficial. You know, everything, Paul writes, is permitted, but everything does not build others up. I mean, well, again, what's beneficial? What builds others up? Is our technology, you know, our phones, our screens, are they doing that? Or is it becoming too much of a good thing that's becoming detrimental rather than beneficial, all right? Is it building others up, us and others up, or is it disconnecting us from others? Right? So we gotta think about that. Another area, you know, I wanna mention where I found, you know, I'll tell you where I find myself kind of getting in trouble and struggling is, you know, I've begun to take my phone with me to bed. Now, the reason behind it is because our remote for our Roku, for the changing channels on our TV, doesn't work anymore. It doesn't, won't connect. And so I have to use the remote on my app to do that. So I've been bringing it to bed in order to be able to do that. And so I'll do that, and then I'll put it on my nightstand. But here's what has been happening as of late. I've found myself going back to my phone, even though the TV's on. I find myself reading articles or checking mail, emails, or doing stuff on my phone. And before I realize, it's been an hour or an hour and a half where I've been looking at my phone rather than going to sleep, right? And I am not the only one. I know that. I mean, our kids, they do it as well. A study by the Common Sense Media found that 68% of teenagers reported that they keep their mobile devices within reach at night. Nearly a third, 29% of teens sleep with smartphones, cell phones, or tablets in their beds. One review of 20 studies, for example, found that access to and the use of mobile devices at bedtime were associated with inadequate sleep quality, poor sleep quantity, as well as excessive sleepiness during the day. You know, and again, I mean, I go in my kids' room at night to say goodnight or whatever, and guess what they're doing? If they're, you know, they're looking at a screen, right? And adults, we're not much better. This study said 66% of Americans admit to sleeping with their phone at night. Now, one of the reasons given, well, my reason was for the Roku. A more common reason is, oh, well, you know, it's my alarm clock. I use my phone as my alarm clock, and so I have it there. Well, I guarantee you they use it for more than just their alarm clock. But here's the thing. I checked on Amazon, and guess what? They still sell alarm clocks, and many of them are under $20, all right? There's one of them that will even project the time on the ceiling. So when the alarm goes off and you wake up and you open your eyes, there is the time on the ceiling. You know, but they got basic ones as well. Now, I look, they don't have the kind of alarm clock that I had growing up, and that was this combination of alarm clock, radio, and cassette player. All right, that was a great combination because when your favorite song came on the radio, boom, you hit record, and there you had it on your cassette. But then I couldn't find one like that. But they got all kinds, you know. And so, you know, your phone doesn't have to be an alarm clock. All right, but even if it is, place it in such a spot where it is out of your arm's reach. All right, so you can't just get there and constantly check it and be looking at it and be on it. All right, put it out of reach, charge it out of reach. You know, and if it's an alarm, okay, great, no problem. If it's out of reach, when it goes off, guess what? If you're going to turn it off, what are you going to have to do? Get out of bed to turn off an alarm. Imagine that, getting up when the alarm actually goes off. I mean, come on, folks. I mean, we need sleep. Our kids need it. We need it. And without it, we can find ourselves depressed. Studies show that we find ourselves depressed. We can find ourselves lethargic. We can find ourselves struggling with anxiety and a host of other things if we're not getting adequate sleep. And one of the reasons why I get adequate sleep is because we're on our screens. You know, I was reminded in the Psalms this week, this one, and it's a favorite one. It just simply says, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. Now, the Hebrew word there for be still is this word rapha. It's often also translated as cease. And so maybe for us in this context, we need to simply cease using our phones as often as we do, or cease being in front of a screen as often as we are, or cease being so attached to our technology, you know, and simply be in the presence of God more often. You know, I was thinking about that verse, and a song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, one of my favorites, came to my mind. Take a listen.
Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine, bow before the Prince of Peace, and let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change. Be still. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is God. Be speechless. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is our Father. Come rest your head upon His breast. Listen to the rhythm of His unfailing heart of love, beating for His little ones, calling each of us to come. Be still. Be still.
love that. What does it say? Come, rest your head upon his breast. Listen to the rhythm of his unfailing heart. His unfailing heart of love. Beating for his little ones. Calling each of us to come. Be still. I'll tell you, technology is a great thing, but too much of it, and it can become a bad thing. And so my hope is maybe we can begin to exercise a little more self-control when it comes to our screens and our kids' screens. You know, to turn them off more often, to put it somewhere else during meal times, all right? Put it out of arm's reach at night, all right? To regulate the time that our kids spend on them. I mean, these are simple steps, but you know, simple steps can make a big difference. Because I think these kind of steps will help us to be still in the presence of God, to be present in one another's lives. And to me, it'll make us, healthier and happier, right? I mean, again, technology is awesome. It's amazing. And we can use it for so many great things. But there's also a right relationship with it. My hope is that we'll strive to have a right relationship with our technology, with our phones, with our screens. Us as adults, most especially in the lives of our kids. Let us pray. Lord, how grateful we are for you. Help us to make you the center of our lives, for you to be our master, to be the source of our strength and our hope and our joy. I mean, we're so grateful. I'm thankful for technology and all the things that it brings with it, Lord. But God, help us. Because if we are honest, there are times where our technology has become an idol for us, and we've become too dependent upon it. And in doing so, we have harmed other people unknowingly. So, Lord, help us to have the right relationship with technology, you know, where we love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, first and foremost, and we love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That be first and foremost. And this other, all the others, it helps us just to do that better, maybe. But most definitely does not take us away from the greatest commandment. So, Lord, we offer these prayers unto you this day. Amen.